All right, this is Sergeant Revere, badge number 2773. It is July 9th, 2012 at 5 p.m. exactly. I'm here in the professional standards office of the Santa Ana Police Department. I'm in the conference room at the rear of the professional standards office here to conduct an interview with Officer William Thielman, badge number 2134. Present also in the interview is Sergeant Mike Claiborne. Also present as counsel for Officer Thielman is Bill. Before we start the interview, you're aware that it's being recorded?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And prior to starting the interview, I told you that I was going to do a brief description of your uniform that you have on right now. And just for record keeping purposes, prior to the interview, your uniform was inspected as well. By CSI and Sergeant Gonzalez, but we're going to go back over it again. The only thing that's changed since that last interview is that your handgun has been taken away to be inspected. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So I'll describe briefly for the record that right now as we're here sitting here, you are in your full wool police uniform, dark blue in color, with your badge on your left breast, two Santa Ana police patches on both arms, as well as your corporal chevrons with a star underneath both patches. You have nylon duty gear on. You have a drop holster on your right hand side, which formerly contained your Glock 21 45 caliber handgun. That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. You have a OC spray on your right side, directly in front of your holster. And if you turn, I can see that you have a handcuff case on your right side to the rear of your holster and also on the left side of your back. You have a empty radial holster to the left of your left holster. Going towards the front of your body, you have a baton holder directly in front of the radial holder and then a double magazine pouch in front of that, which contains two magazines for your duty handgun, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm going to read you an advisement right now. If anything I say confuses you, if you don't understand it, or if you want me to reiterate something, feel free to ask me and I'll do so
yes,
for
sir.
You, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Bill. I'm conducting an administrative investigation into the shooting incident in which you've been involved. Also present in this interview are the people that I formerly mentioned. During this investigation, I will be gathering facts and looking at the circumstances which led up to the shooting incident. At the conclusion of the investigation, the administration will review the incident to determine if department policy has been followed. You are admonished that if any information is obtained either during the investigation or during the administrative review that indicates you have violated any department orders, rules, regulations, policies, or procedures, you could be subject to disciplinary action. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I'm giving you a direct order not to discuss this investigation or your interview with anyone other than your recognized representative or myself or is compelled by law or legal proceeding. Failure to obey this order could result in charges and possible termination. Do you understand?
I do, sir.
Okay. Due to the nature of this administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it is important that you understand that criminally, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during any questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you before questioning if you wish. Do you understand each of these rights that I've explained to you?
I do, sir.
Okay. With these rights in mind, would you like to speak with me now?
No, sir.
While you have the right to remain silent with regard to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am, therefore, ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your silence can be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline up to and including termination. Any statement you make under compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally, nor in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. So, this incident we will get to in a second here. today, July 9th, what time did you start your shift today, Bill?
0530, sir. Roll call.
Okay. Did anything unusual happen during the shift prior to the shooting?
No.
And I asked you earlier, but I'm going to ask you now, did you have a backup weapon with you today?
I did not.
Okay. At the time of the shooting incident, were you carrying a recording device on you?
No, sir. I don't carry one at all.
And the uniform that you're wearing now, which I previously described, is that what you were wearing at the time of the shooting incident?
It is, yes, sir.
Apart from the handgun, which has been taken to be inspected, has anything been removed or taken away from your uniform since the shooting incident now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to ask you about this incident, and I'll just, for the record, give a brief description leading up into it. Apparently, there was a call of a stolen vehicle located in the area of Main and MacArthur, and Duke alerted the Santa Ana Police Department to that today at about 12:26 hours. Why don't you go ahead and just tell me in your own words how you got involved in that call and what led up to the shooting.
All right, very good, sir. At approximately that time, 12:26 hours, Duke did come up on our green channel, duped Station 31. We're getting a LoJack hit in the area of Main and MacArthur. He read off the five-digit sequential number targeted to that specific vehicle. Dispatch came back moments later stating it was a, and I don't recall the year of the vehicle, but it was a Mercedes. I believe she said light brown or tan in color. She read off the make, it 300 or 350 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Kind of tailed off at that end. Duke came back further and said, sorry, can't stay, got a priority call in South County. However, this is the area we last got 13 bars, I believe he said. So it's pretty strong. So myself and other units from my area, at least, and if not other area units from South Coast and whatever, whoever else was 10-8, were, I knew, in fact, en route to that area to conduct a patrol check or an area check. I was en route to that location when Officer Montiel had already arrived in the area of 3900 South Bristol in front of the it was a sporting goods store, indicating that he had seen the vehicle, or he sees the vehicle parked in the parking lot, however, it's unoccupied at this time. Myself, Montiel, Sergeant Rivera, and other officers monitoring all went to Green 2 so we could coordinate. Montiel was set up behind, I believe, the Chase Bank, if I'm not mistaken. Sergeant Rivera went a little bit further south, if you will, in the parking lot. Other officers were placing themselves, and I'm still en route, so I hadn't been, quote-unquote, committed to a location as of yet. As I finally arrived on scene, I saw where Montiel was positioned. I pulled up alongside him, pulling my binoculars out of the car. I don't know if you had a chance to inspect inside of my car, but my binoculars are sitting right on top of my duty bag. I use those numerous times during any given day. Came up, stood next to him. I was watching the vehicle. Clearly could see a male white exit the sporting goods store, approach the vehicle, enter the vehicle. I believe at that time he removed his shirt, stepped out of the vehicle. I'm still watching it. I could see him standing at the vehicle, hesitating for a moment. Montiel and I are talking. Did he go inside the car? I said, yeah, he went actually inside of the car, the 503. Now, mind you, I'm using aided eye, and he's non-aided, just with his own vision. His vision was a little bit less potent than mine. I said, yes, he went inside the vehicle, came out. He actually opened the door again. Now, due to where the vehicle that was parked in the parking lot immediately east of where the 503 was parked, I couldn't tell if he got in it again or just bent over and ducked inside to look and check for something that he may have forgotten. At this point, I said flat on, I made a command decision, being the senior guy, look, I truly don't want to pursue a vehicle pursuit. I said, why don't we just jam him right now? We can make him for the 503. We both saw him, or at least I did, twice with my binoculars in and out of the vehicle. He's good for that. I said, let's get him. Now, let me back up for just a moment. Prior to that moment, dispatch came back reiterating facts of the 503 itself, that it belonged to an FBI agent, it had a gun in the car, and that the vehicle was in fact a 503. So now, in my mind being a 25-year street officer, when there's a 503 belonging to any officer, whether it be federal, state, whatever jurisdiction, and there's a weapon in it, I'm sure the suspect had found that weapon already. I did not know when the date of occurrence occurred. It could have happened yesterday, it could have happened a month ago. I don't know. We didn't get that information. I did see the suspect entering and exiting that vehicle. In my mind, what I knew to be accurate at this time is that he was the person who stole that car, and he was most likely the person to be in possession of the handgun that was inside of that stolen car. So I said, look, let's jam him right now. He's good for the 503, if nothing else, but let's keep in mind he's got a gun. So this is what we did. If this sheet of paper, I'm just going to use this sheet of paper as an example, and I know on the recorder it can't pick up what I'm doing, so I'll describe it. If this is the bank where he and I were standing on this corner, our units were parked maybe 15 feet, 20 feet north of the corner here, which would have been the southeast corner of the, I think it was a bank, if I'm
not mistaken. Can I stop you for 1 second?
Yes, sir.
What might be a good idea is if you just draw it
for me,
and
yes, sir,
then we can use that as a reference. That way, because for the recording, it's hard to describe these directions.
And Bill, I'm going to ask a quick clarifying
yes.
question. You said you knew that there was a gun at the time of the 503. Did you have any idea what type of gun it was?
Not until after the fact. Dispatch came back and said that there was a weapon inside the vehicle. It was after, when we talked a little bit further, that I discovered that it was a five-shot Chief Special or something similar to that type of a weapon.
After the shooting occurred?
After, yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, this is Bristol, and it enters here, if you will. I'm going to describe this whole thing here.
Sure.
Bristol, this is going to be the north margin here, gentlemen. This is Bristol. It runs north and south, as we know. This is approximately 3900 South Bristol, the sporting goods shop. Front door, let's just say here is the front door. These will be the parking stalls in the parking lot. Nearly all of these were taken up. There might have been like three taken, one missing, two or three taken, one missing. They were pretty much taken. Suspect vehicle, the 503, we'll just put it right about here, and it's not 100% accurate by any means. I don't know how many spaces over, but it was a distance from the front door.
Okay.
There was a car parked, like I say, just immediately east of it. Montiel and I were positioned here. Our units were staged here. After we witnessed the suspect entering and exiting the vehicle, he stood there for several moments. We discussed it. I said, let's jam him now. We've got him good for the 503. Unknowing that we were here, he began walking towards the store again. I told Montiel, get in the car, because here's what I wanted to avoid. We both run to our units. We back up. He's disappeared. We don't know where he went. Now there's this frantic manhunt trying to relocate him. Montiel got in his car. I maintained my position. I watched with my binoculars. He was still right in this immediate area. Once Montiel began rolling westbound towards the suspect, I got in my car. I followed. By the time I actually got to a position where got into a position where I could see his taillights, he was already here. He picked up good speed and he got here. I'm coming up on him. I see Montiel already exiting his car, motioning in a motion like come here or come something. I couldn't hear what he was saying as I was approaching. He gets out, begins to run in a southerly, southeasterly direction in this manner, chasing the suspect.
Okay.
Montiel stopped maybe after 40, 60 yards. I saw another unit coming from south northbound. I assumed that was Sergeant Rivera. Rivera. Mm-hmm. I assumed it was. I didn't get a visual on them. They were both out of their cars, chasing, pooped out. I'm still in my unit. Okay, I'm going to think smarter, not harder. I don't get out and chase him through this huge parking lot. I follow him in my car. Let my car do the work. Mm-hmm. Follow him all the way over to this area, and I honestly don't even know the address of this location because it happened too darn quick. So suspect ran all the way over here. I circumvented all these parked cars, light poles and whatnot, and I came to rest right here. Suspect ran up a flight of stairs. I bailed out. My pack set fell somewhere out in that area. I could have stopped and picked it up, taken a chance and lost him. Now I'm thinking, this guy runs like a gazelle. I'm doing 25, 30 in my car, and he's in front of me. He's running like a champ. So I said, okay, I'm praying that one of my officers are going to follow up behind me. So I chose not to stop to pick up a pack set. All right, we go up these flights of stairs to this building. We go from the catwalk area. We jump onto another roof, up the roof onto another catwalk, around to, now this catwalk, I'm going to draw the backside of this, if you will.
Sure.
This is the catwalk on the upper level.
this would be Bristol out here, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
Solid brick wall back here. Here's that roof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me back up again. From the moment I saw Montiel exit his car, approaching the suspect and him splitting, the suspect's left hand was on his waistband. I don't think it ever came off the waistband, to be honest with you. I never saw at any time both hands pumping as he ran. It was his right hand doing the pumping. The left hand was right here the whole time. Again, in my 25-year career mind, chasing numerous suspects in a similar type of situation, it was very synonymous with the end result being that the suspect was holding onto a weapon. He did not want to drop his gun. So during the chase, whether I was behind him and on the car or on foot, his left hand never left this area.
Okay.
We're up here. He's got about a 20-foot advantage on me, give or take. He covers around this corner real fast. I did not do that. I stopped and I started to cut the pie. Here's where it gets interesting, and I'm going to take my time and walk into this. He had it literally stopped right here. I, like I said, was approximately here, cutting the pie outward.
Okay.
As I came around the corner, I saw the suspect's back to me. He was facing that wall in this manner.
Just so I can describe, so that you said he had his back to you,
yes,
and his hands were in his waistband area.
In the front. I could not see the hands from where the way he was standing. His back was to me. They were in this manner.
Okay.
Like I said, here is a dead wall. It's a brick wall. You had to have seen that. That's where
mm-hmm.
my round impacted.
Mm-hmm.
As I came around, I said, show me your hands or you will be shot.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he does. And he knew I was behind him. He knew three police officers were just chasing through the parking lot. As you described, I'm in full uniform. I was driving a Mark Santa Ana police car. I yelled at him twice during the chase, stop, stop, stop now. Something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Came around the corner. His back was to me in this manner. Let me see your hands or you will be shot. He does this. Instead of raising his hands and submitting, he does this in that left quick gesture. During the whole chase, like I say, his left hand never came off of this area.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, he's either securing the weapon into the waistband, or I've seen this before, the damn thing slipped into his underwear crotch area and he couldn't get it out. He's having a problem with it. As he turns sharply to his left, exposing this part of his back and hip, is when I fired, believing he was about to spin around and shoot at me, believing I was about to be engaged in a gun battle here. As he was spinning is when I fired at him. Based on his reaction, he let out a scream. Then he went immediately over the rail, down that wall, that black rooftop.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, I hit him, but he's not dead by any means. He's injured. I immediately go over the roof as well and start to follow him. As he's sliding, I hear, as he just clears the roof, this long scream. I'm thinking, what the hell? I literally get about a foot and a half from the eaves trough that I grab on to your life, like, oh my God, it's a 20-foot drop. So he falls, hits, gets up, and kind of slithers off to the right. Still being mindful that he could come up with that weapon at any time and engage me now that I'm in a vulnerable position, I sat on the roof with my gun pointed at him, and I gave him the gentleman's way out after believing I already shot him and wounded him. He was no longer a threat to me. He didn't stop to engage me in a battle. He split. My only concern at this time was my own safety. Now I'm hanging precariously from a 20-foot height. I couldn't get back up. It was so dang slippery. Every time I tried to stand up, I'd fall back down. So now I'm stuck. I instinctively reached for my pack set, which doesn't exist, to call for help and put out officer safety to other officers that were in that immediate area. That was my biggest concern. Now I've got an armed suspect, maybe hit, maybe not. I thought he was on the run with a gun. Officers responding, not knowing what this guy looked like or what to expect. You just got to appreciate the panic going through my mind, since I am a supervisor and I'm here for my guys, if you will. I don't know how corny to play it down to you, but I wanted to get the word out to my people that there was an armed suspect out there. In my mind, he's still an armed suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the information was given to me by the Eagle, by Duke Dispatch, believing it ought to be true. So I believed, okay, he's still armed, he's on the run. As officers were arriving, I'm shouting out orders. He's that way, I fired at him, I think I hit him. I'm putting out the officer safety verbally to each officer. Cervantes rolls up, and I yell at him, put out 998. I don't have a fucking pack, said his wife. I said, I dropped it back there. He goes, okay, I got it. I wanted people to know what just happened. Mm-hmm. And I sat there until fire arrived and got me down about 15 minutes later. And that was the end of the fight for me.
Okay, obviously you went through a lot, Bill, there. So I'll go back and kind of break it down, too, to make sure that my understanding is not contrary to anything you've got. So you get this call of Duke finding this 503 in that parking lot. You head down there. You said that Montiel goes down to this call as well, and Sergeant Rivera. So when you guys find the vehicle unoccupied in the parking lot there in front of the sporting goods store. I'm sorry, was I wrong?
No, excuse me, the sporting goods store.
Oh, okay. That you and Montiel then set up on the east side of this, I think it was a bank?
I thought it was a Chase bank. I thought it said Chase. I wasn't paying any attention to it. My focus was up here.
Okay. And that from that position, you and Montiel maintain a view of the vehicle, you using your binoculars and Montiel with his unaided vision.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the vehicle. The suspect approaches the vehicle, and I'm sorry you might have said this, but did he come from one of these stores here to the vehicle?
You know what? I was back in my car. I initially came out without my binoculars. I went back, and that's when he was approaching. Montiel said, he's in the car now. As I looked up, I saw just the head of him getting inside. Then he comes out without a shirt on.
Okay.
So he probably just took it off while I was sitting in there. He must have. Stood outside the door, looked around. I said, yeah, it's him. I can see him. He's outside the driver's door. Mm-hmm. Gets back in. He either goes back in or leans in. This vehicle is blocking the way. Mm-hmm. But something inside the driver's door. Came back out, looked around. Maybe he was hinky. Maybe he was just looking for whatever. But he looked actually back in our direction, looked in 360 degrees. Obviously didn't see us. It was a long distance. At this point, I say, hey, he's good for the 503. He's getting in and out of it. Let's jam him right now. Let's just take him.
Okay. So for my reference, if you'd use the pen here, can you just put me an S and maybe circle it round about where this guy was at the vehicle, just roughly? Okay.
This
I know he moved. I know he moved a lot, but
503 vehicle. And okay. Here is the suspect at the driver's door, if you will.
Okay. So if you can fit an S in there and just circle it, just roughly where he is. Okay. And then this, these two rectangles over here, that's you and Montiel. I don't know if you could just, let's do a T and an M for Thielman and Montiel.
And these are our units.
And that's your cars.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill, there's a, the inspector asked you a question. Did you see whether the guy was coming from a store? Was he going to a store?
It appeared as if he had came from the store, but like I say, I turned and went back to my unit to grab my binoculars. I thought, and that's what Montiel, if I remember him correctly, saying he came out of the store and he's walking towards his vehicle. So I said, wait a minute. I ran to my car, came back, set up on him, and he was just getting into the car.
Okay.
So when you first see him, where is he specifically?
Right at the back getting in, and he got in real quick, as if the door wasn't locked or if he had a remote clicker or something, but he didn't hesitate and stand there for any amount of time.
Okay. So, as you described it, he got out of the vehicle at some point and then kind of reached back in?
Stood there, looked in, reached in, something. I could not tell. But he was still at that vehicle. It was obvious that he was still at the vehicle.
And was it sometime during this time when you and Montiel were code 5 in his vehicle that the additional information was broadcast about the circumstances?
Just prior to that, yes, sir.
Just prior to him entering the vehicle?
Yes.
And the information was essentially that the vehicle was taken in a from Huntington Beach, and it was an FBI agent who was the victim, and that there was also a firearm possibly inside of the vehicle.
Correct.
Okay.
Our knowledge of it, or our understanding.
That's the information that you were getting from dispatch.
Yes. Yes.
Concerning this vehicle.
Yes.
Now, this suspect, let's just describe him generally. Male.
Male, white. 20, 22 years of age, about 5'10 to 6 foot, 170 pounds, short buzzed hair, maybe your length, give or take. No shirt, faded blue jeans and sneakers.
When you say no shirt, you mean bare chested?
Bare chested, shirtless.
Okay. So is the suspect, you and Montiel make this plan or decide, you verbalize to the other team members on the radio, I'm assuming. Were you guys on and off channel?
We moved in on our own. I did not get on the radio to advise anyone that we're moving up. We just did it between the two of us.
You and Montiel formulated this plan to go. And I believe you said that your intent, and if I mistake this, stop me and clarify it, that your intent was to apprehend the suspect before he either went mobile in the vehicle or got away inside one of these businesses, and then you would be looking for a potentially armed suspect.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair
statement? That's exactly
statement?
It, yes.
So you, Montiel, formulated the plan to go and try to apprehend him before either of those two things could happen.
Correct. I'd much rather have spent the time chasing him on foot than in a vehicle through a huge, busy parking lot with dozens of people, potential of fatality, serious injuries if somebody got hit.
Okay. So you and Montiel both enter your vehicles to drive over and to apprehend our suspect, correct?
Yes.
Montiel was in the lead and you were behind him?
Yes.
Okay, and you said that Montiel was the first one to reach the suspect, gets out of his car and appears to give some kind of command.
It appeared that way, yes, sir.
To the suspect.
Correct.
When he gave the command of the suspect, was the suspect already walking back towards, or was he still at the vehicle?
He was. This is where Montiel stopped.
Okay.
The suspect was already walking. By the time we made that plan, his back was to us, and he was walking back in this direction towards the store. And my belief was, let's get him now, because if he gets inside that huge store, mm-hmm. he's going to disappear, or it's going to be a huge cluster. We're going to have a perimeter set up on it, shut off all the accesses, evacuate everybody. It was just going to be a problem. I said, let's just get him in the parking lot right now.
Okay. And as you're coming behind Montiel, do you have a pretty clear and unobstructed view of the suspect?
It wasn't totally clear. I mean, I had to move my unit back and forth because you had to look in between all the parked cars, if you will. And
right.
he wasn't just standing still. Once he saw the unit, Montiel, that's when the foot chase started. Montiel gets out, tries his best to chase after him. He's moving quick. Mm-hmm. Like I say, another unit came in this way. I'm almost certain it was Rivera. I'm not sure. I began driving through the parking lot, through all the different, and these are all parked cars here, mind you, in light posts. I'm going after him, and it terminates here where I get out of the vehicle and chase him.
Okay, but before, let me step back here. Before Montiel actually got out and addressed this guy, did it appear that he had seen the two black and whites coming towards him?
I don't think he saw it until Montiel actually parked, to be honest with you.
Okay. And then were you able to see his immediate reaction upon Montiel contacting him?
No, I'm still looking at the back of the car.
Okay.
I was just watching what was in front. Plus, remember now, people are walking everywhere. They're
sure.
What's going on? You know, doing the stupid thing they do, not paying attention. I don't want to get in a crash. Right. So I'm honking my horn. I'm trying to circumvent various backing outs, people walking, everything going on.
Okay, so it sounds like the next thing you realize is that this guy's running away from Montiel.
Yes.
And he runs in a south and then east direction.
Yes, sir.
Away from Montiel, who gives chase on foot. Again, stop me if any of this is wrong. Montiel follows the suspect, but peters out after about, you said.
And of course, I lost track of Montiel. I took off after him in my car, so I left him in the dust.
Okay.
I was, like I said, I'm thinking smarter, not harder. I could have gotten out and chased him, but I would have been dead by the time we reached this location. So I chased him in my vehicle all the way up to here. And he didn't make it easy. He was going in between parked cars, and I had to look for the openings to get in between parked cars to keep up with him.
Now, as you're seeing the suspect who is, he's running, obviously, not walking, correct?
No, he's flying. He's moving.
Do you notice him with the left hand in his waistband at this point?
Yes, the whole time. The hand, if it ever came off, it came off once or twice, and I didn't even see that. The entire time I watched him, his hand was holding his waistband.
Okay. So I'm gonna stick with this, but I'm going to kind of backtrack and bring us right back here. So at the point when you were code-5-ing the vehicle, and you had received that information from dispatch that there was a handgun involved with the 503, the stolen vehicle, as you said, that elevated your concern about the suspect, and given that it was a busy parking lot, there was lots of citizens around, that created concern for you. Is that safe to say?
The concern was there for me, for myself, my partners, as well as the citizens, but yes, there was concern.
Okay. Now, did the effect of two things, of the suspect running and also him putting his hand in his waistband, did that elevate or decrease your concern as you were chasing him?
It didn't elevate or decrease her. Based on, like I say, numerous years of doing exactly the same thing, I just tried my very best in between avoiding hitting parked cars and pedestrians to keep my eye on those hands to see if he was either A, tossing, or B, maintaining that hold. If he had, for whatever reason, brought his hands up now, running with both hands, pumping his body, if you will, as a runner would do, I would have thought, shit, he probably just dumped the gun. But that hand never left that side. Never left it. Held his pants or held his weapon, something.
So did that, as you just described it, his actions, did that make you think that it was more likely or less likely that he had the handgun on?
Oh, I thought definitely he had the weapon with him.
Okay.
His movement were indicative to that of a person holding the weapon in his waistband.
Okay. So we're back here where he's running, and you're slaloming through vehicles and pedestrians here to try to catch up with him. Did you drive... you ended up going through the parking stalls here to track his movement. Is
right.
that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you're trying to maintain a visual of where he's going as he dodges between cars and all these other things. But he heads in a southeast direction towards this business here down near the corner of Sunflower and Bristol.
Yes.
I can't remember what the address is, but...
3930.
3930, thank you, South Bristol. Which is where you ultimately end up stopping your vehicle
correct.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
Can you do me a favor? Since this is Montiel's vehicle, can you just put an M2 here for Montiel so that we know that's his vehicle? And then this one is yours, correct? So we'll just label that one, however you want to label it as yours. And this is our
direction of travel.
What's that?
I'm sorry, direction of travel?
Yeah, the suspect's direction of travel. Oh, right. You could just put S1 next to those lines just to show that that's him traveling in that direction. So when the suspect reaches, still holding his waistband, correct?
Excuse me, yes, sir.
Reaches this flight of stairs at the bottom of this business here.
Right.
Does he immediately run up it? Or
oh,
did
yes.
he stop?
No, didn't hesitate.
Didn't
just
hesitate.
Right up to 2-3 stairs at a time.
And your vehicle, you stop essentially at the base of the stairs here, but still in the roadway.
Close enough to it, yes.
And then you got out and gave chase on foot.
I did.
And somewhere near the stairway here where you wrote this X, that's the area more or less where your pack set came loose.
That's correct, yes.
Now, at this point, as you exit the vehicle, was your gun still in its holster or was it out?
I pulled it out immediately as soon as I hit the stairs.
Okay, immediately as you got out of the stairs. And the reason that you had the holster out, I know I can kind of think what the answer is, but I'm going to ask you, what was the reason that you had the holster?
You mean my weapon?
Your weapon out of the holster.
Still seeing the suspect fleeing with his left hand on his held up to his waistband, believing that he still had possession of that weapon, and at any time he could turn it and pull back on me in the blink of an eye and fire. I had to be ready to return fire and meet his aggression with aggression.
And in your training and experience, have you become aware that suspects who are fleeing in the possession of a weapon as they're fleeing on foot have turned and shot at officers while they're running?
Yes, sir, many times.
And was that concern in your head as you were getting out of your vehicle and going after him on foot?
It was in my mind from the very moment of the beginning of the foot chase, to be honest with you. That's what... The left hand maintaining on his waistband. Yeah, my thought nonstop was that he had that weapon clutched in his waistband holding onto it. He, for whatever reason, never refused or never surrendered that hand to, like I said, the double hand pump while he was running. It was always a single right hand pump. The left hand maintained on his waistband. It was in my mind that he was in possession of that handgun.
Okay, fair enough. As you run up the stairs after him, at that point, were you giving him commands?
I yelled at him at least twice to stop, something like stop, give it up, stop, something along those lines. Nothing too thoughtful. I didn't want to take my mind off of watching his hand with this long, drawn-out conversation, because I know if you're talking, you can't watch what you're doing. There's a conflict in what your brain is focusing on. Let him know, remind him that I'm immediately behind him, which was what my intention was. Mm-hmm. Let him know that you still have police presence immediately behind you, but my focus was still on where his hand was placed.
Did he ever make eye contact with you or appear to look at you directly?
I cannot say for sure if he did or didn't. I don't know.
Okay. As he reaches to the top of this flight of stairs, I want to make sure I don't misstate this. You said he jumped over some railing?
The chafe was so fast. Now, I'm just going to say this. I cannot honestly lay out what these locations even look like. I know the stairs went up and curved over, then back. He went over a rail onto the side of the rail. We jumped onto another rooftop. Okay. We had about a foot and a half, 2 foot span, maybe. Up that roof, onto this catwalk back here. The chase continued until we rounded that last corner.
Okay. And so this is the other diagram that you drew on the back of
yes,
the...
Yes,
so you guys were running in...
Southbound.
Bristol
would be back over here, I believe, and this would be No, actually, this is Bristol. Then Sunflower would be over here.
Okay, so let's just write Bristol so that we know where Bristol is. Give us a reference.
Sunflower's over.
Sunflower's, yeah, probably could put that down there. This is obviously not scale.
No.
And this is you, correct? So why don't we label you there as however you want to label it. Okay. So we have the officer being you, S1 being our suspect, correct? So the officer runs down this catwalk, breezeway, is that?
Catwalk is what I refer to it as, sure. Breezeway is another term, yes, sir.
Okay. Still has the left hand in his waistband?
All the way around the corner.
Okay, doing the right hand fist bumping as
he slowed down as he cleared the corner. Now, just thinking back in my mind's eye, he rounded the corner, slowed, but the hand was still here. He slowed in the funny way, which nervous the shit out of me. My spidey senses began to work. I was not about to round that corner and be facing a muzzle and take one in the face. I slowed, I cut the pie, and that's when I approach him, as I described earlier, with his back to me. He wasn't standing there ready to submit face on. His back was to me.
Okay, so as you cut the corner here, slower, obviously, because you're concerned
yes, sir.
About him possibly firing on you as you round this corner. As you turn the corner here and get visual of him again, he's at the end of the breezeway, the catwalk here, with his back to you.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And as you described it previously, you said his back was to you and his hands were both down in his front.
I could not see his hands. They were in the front of his body. That's the fairest, most honest way of putting it.
Were you able to see if he was moving his hands back and forth or were they just there at that point as you first came and saw him?
He was moving, but not in a frantic way. They were moving. The hands were moving, yes.
Okay. And your gun was still drawn, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And you gave him some commands.
I did.
And what were those commands again?
Let me see your hands or I will shoot you.
Okay. And at that point, you said earlier when you were describing it that you expected him to put his hands up in the air above his head.
Yes.
But that's not what he did, correct?
No, sir.
Well, what you described previously, and again, stop me if any of this is inaccurate, is that he turned to his left side.
Spun to his left.
And why don't you describe it one more time for me so I make sure I have a good...
As the suspect stood in this position where I'm pointing to, mm-hmm. mind you, a brick wall behind here, and that I took that into consideration for my firing platform. Okay. I had no bystanders whatsoever and a good background if I had to shoot. Instead of submitting to my authority, what the suspect chose to do is spin immediately in a hunched over manner. Mm-hmm. It was like this. Now, I don't know where his hands were. Like, say, I honestly didn't see his hands. But, okay, my hands are now around my crotch. Mm-hmm. They're on my legs. They're on my chest. Either way, you really can't see my
hands. They're in front of him.
Yes, they're in front of him. So, let me see your hands. Lawful command by a police officer in uniform. This is what I wanted to see. This is what I got. He spun in this manner.
So, as I'm describing, I'm just going to describe, because it's audio, yes. Not video, is that he's bent over slightly at the waist, that he turns to his left side so that now you can see more of the front of him.
Yes.
And he's, I think you showed him extending his left arm out.
He came in this manner.
Okay, so left arm with the right arm coming behind it out behind his body.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That immediate response Again, after a foot pursuit that lasted two officers, maybe three, if Sergeant Rivera even got out of his car, for 300-plus yards over two buildings, rooftops, being chased by, a uniformed officer, believing that this guy had the weapon, watching his left hand the whole time, never leaving the waistband area, failed to submit to my lawful command. When he spun on me, I honestly could feel the bullet hit me right now. I knew he was spinning with a weapon to take me out. I knew he was going to shoot me. That's the only justification I could come up with in my mind, my rationality. That's where I went to.
And that's when you fired the weapon?
I fired at him, yes.
Now, how many rounds did we fire?
I fired one round. As he was bent over, I would swear that I shot him in the hip. I heard the round impact into the wall. I actually saw the when it struck. He screamed out, I believe I hit him. I thought I hit him by his scream.
He screamed out, and then you believe that you hit him.
I did, yes, sir.
Okay.
He immediately never stood rightly up. He went right over to this rail and went over the rail.
Towards Bristol.
Yes. He went over the rail. I had the same thought I'm sure he had. I'm just going to put myself in his mind that he was going to slide down this, jump down into the sidewalk. It was very misleading the way it looked. I went immediately after him. As I was going over the rail, he had already hit the edge and went off, and I heard this, not really a scream, if you will, but a kind of an ah shit, thump. I get here approximately 2 feet from the edge, and that's when I thought, oh my God, it's a 20-foot drop. So I braced myself for the fall. I stopped, watched him get up, in my disbelief, because I really thought I struck him and he was going to be down, runs off in a southbound direction out of my view. But as he's running, I'm still holding on to my weapon as if he turned on me and I'm in a vulnerable position. If he turned on me again and he starts shooting at me, I'm going to have to return fire again. So I hold my weapon. I watched him out the corner of my eyes. I really couldn't move. I'm hanging on to the very edge of this roof before I fell to my whatever. He's gone. I reholster my weapon because I sure as hell didn't want to have an accident where I fell off. My gun goes off. I shoot myself or whatever. If I fell off for whatever reason, then I accept a broken leg, ankle, whatever. I was stuck there. I tried twice to get up and get back up there to get to where, A, the shell casing was, or at least all the way back down and around, because I wasn't going to jump 20 feet. It just wasn't going to happen. I wanted to get around. I could not get back up that slippery roof. I couldn't do it. I was stuck there until fire showed up with a ladder and got me down. As officers were arriving, now, once again, in my mind, I'm angry at myself. I wanted to get out a safety statement to the officers that were on scene. This is what he looks like. This is what just happened. I had no clue if anyone even heard the shot or knew what just happened. I had no packs. And like I say, I instinctively reached 3-4 times knowing it wasn't there, but just, God, please let it be there. It wasn't there. So I couldn't get any word out. As officers were arriving, I was yelling at them verbally. This is what just happened. He's running that way. Put out 998 for me. Let everybody know what just happened.
And that was the end of your involvement?
Yes. Yes.
Was lighting ever an issue? Was broad daylight? Was there any time where lighting was an issue?
No, sir. No.
Okay. Did you hear any else? I'm sorry. Did you hear anybody else or any rounds going off apart from yours, that one round that you fired off?
No.
Again, I could probably speculate what your answer is going to be, but I'm going to ask you the question. Did you consider there to be any other options apart from deadly force to respond to his actions when you fired your gun?
At that very moment, absolutely none. If I had backed off long before I started cutting the pie, or even if I had not committed myself to the point once I cut and I saw where he was, if I stood back and allowed him to get over that wall, or the rail, I should say, slide down, but again, it didn't make any damn difference because I didn't have a pack set. I couldn't have called for help, and I don't carry a cell phone with me. I leave it in my car. I initially reached for that, too, and it wasn't there. I was just going to call 911 to the PD and put out what would happen, but I don't carry my phone with me. At that moment, I have to say absolutely none. I had no other alternative, no recourse. I was truly in fear for my safety at that time. I truly believe that that suspect was armed with a weapon that communications relay to us that was inside of the stolen vehicle belonging to the federal agent.
And just going back, you said you dropped your pack set sometime right after you got out of the black and white and started chasing him on foot. So you were aware of that. This is more of a psychological question, but you were aware of that, but still nonetheless, you were still grabbing for your pack set, and it was not there, is that correct?
I did it a couple, two or three times.
Just instinctively?
I sure did.
And the purpose of getting to the pack set was to notify the other officers of what was going on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking in my head, so if you have any questions you want to ask while we're...
While giving chase after you exited your car, are you continuing to yell at this guy to stop?
At least twice. At least twice.
And no doubt in your mind, he would have heard you from that distance.
No doubt. No doubt. In my mind, he chose not to stop because
you were yelling, not asking.
Oh, I was yelling. I have a loud voice when it needs to be. No, okay. I yelled.
You make care of Bill. Yes, go ahead and just sign your name and then date that one side, and then just do the same, please, on the other side.
Bill, what was the race of this suspect?
He was white.
Anything to give you any indication that you didn't understand English?
None whatsoever.
So was it your expectation that commands issued in English would have been heard?
I have no doubt in my mind he heard me.
Okay.
I have no doubt. Whether he spoke English or not, I can't say because I've never engaged him in conversation. But again, I'm just going to have to throw this out. In 25 years being a sworn officer, wearing a uniform almost my entire career, whether you spoke English, Spanish, Russian, if a uniform officer is yelling at you, your curiosity is going to make you stop, if nothing else, and turn around and engage that person. Are you talking to me, sir? Not the opposite. Force you to run faster and away from that uniformed officer.
If you noticed, as you pied around that corner on that catwalk, I know it may have happened quickly, but did you happen to notice if that doorway was open or closed?
The doorway at the very end? I don't know. I didn't notice it, but I saw that it was there. I don't know if it was open or closed, to be honest with you. You know what? That's a good point. If he may have even tried it the moment before I came around. He may have even tried the door. Maybe, and that's probably, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but possibly even why his back was to me, because he was facing the door trying to get in. I don't know. That's a good point. I never considered it.
Did you happen to see if he may have dropped anything while he was on that catwalk at any point when he was standing over by that wall?
I didn't see him drop anything, and I didn't see him toss anything, and that's why my eyes were focused on his hand the whole time. This hand was always here. This hand was doing the pumping. I didn't see anything that was a total furtive movement to where he threw or brought this hand out. This hand stayed constant in the front.
And when you eventually made your way onto the roof, did you come back onto the catwalk, or did you stay on that roof until you were
assisted down? I couldn't move. I could not get up whatsoever. If I tried to take one step up, I'd fall back on my butt, and I would slide forward again to where that's how I sustained the burns. I had no choice but to keep my hands prompt, you know, placed down on the rooftop to keep from dropping that 20 feet down.
You were sliding down that angled roof on your rear end.
Yes.
Putting the brakes on with your hands as you were going down.
Yes. And I had no idea it was that far of a drop. I thought it was going to be a couple of 2 or 3, 4 feet. I would have even taken 6 feet. But when I heard him doing that, I'm like, uh-oh, something's not right.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Dave?
Nothing.
But I always in the interviews the same way. I ask you if there's anything that you think is important that you wanted to mention, if there's something you think I forgot to ask you, anything else?
No. We covered pretty much everything that I can honestly recall I participated in, or the way I handled it, or one of your questions, would I have done something different? And at that very moment, there was nothing I could have done different. Nothing.
Fair enough. Okay. I'm going to conclude the interview right now. It is 5:49 p.m.